fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to talk about the miracle of Our Lady's missionary journeys. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I was speaking about a recent trip my wife and I had, not just a trip, but a mission to the country of Brazil, the first time I've had an opportunity to visit that beautiful country and to meet the church there, which is, I wish every Catholic in the United States could go and spend some time and visit the community, the Catholic Church there in Brazil, which is the largest Catholic community of any nation in the world, 130 million roughly in the country, but a very high level of activation, embracing of the faith. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's some very visible elements to it. It's kind of humility and simplicity in a lot of people in their faith. Not simplistic by any means, but real, deep devotion. Very Eucharistic, very Marian, charismatic, missionary. The Lord has blessed them with some very dynamic priests that have a tremendous ability to communicate to wide groupings of people. They've got four different Catholic TV networks that lots and lots of people, literally millions and millions of people watch every single day, and they're being fed by it. Just very impressed by the people I met there. I ended yesterday's program, if you didn't have a chance to tune in to the program, talking about Mary's mission both to Brazil and to Portugal, and remembering what happened with both Our Lady of Fatima, but also Our Lady of Aparecida, which 300 years ago, when there was a Marian miracle, basically, that happened in Brazil, around which the village that of which it happened began to form a devotion to Our Lady, and it's grown to the point the whole country identifies with Our Lady of Aparecida. There was a statue of Mary that was found in the bottom of a river by these fishermen who were fishing and struggling to make a life for themselves, and they pulled up one day in the midst of really challenging times, the statue of Our Lady, and then they began to be devoted. They felt like it was a message for them. They began to be devoted to Our Lady, and all kinds of things began to happen. Miracles, signs, wonders, and a kind of flourishing of grace and faith and life. And that particular devotion is kind of the center of the culture there. On October 12th, this past October, is the 300th anniversary of Our Lady of Aparecida, and the whole, I think it was a national holiday. And every bishop, I think they must have over 1,000 bishops with the numbers. They have all the bishops come there. A million people come to the shrine, which is absolutely stunning. It's a beautiful place. But there's just testimony after testimony of the kind of grace that people experience, conversion, repentance, signs and wonders there. And Our Lady's really on mission, which is very inspiring. And I want, before I continue to talk about both Fatima and Aparecida, I want to just put the whole thing in a broader context. The recent popes have told us many, many times, you know, the church is essentially missionary. That is, in her essence, she is missionary. She's on the move. And in her heart is a message for the salvation of the whole world. And it's a message she takes forward. And every person is baptized into this mission. And why is it essential? Why is it not just something that the church does? It's essential because mission begins in the heart of God the Father. St. John Paul II put it this way. At one point, he said that Christianity is the religion that begins in the heart of God, in the heart of a loving Father who goes in search of a people who are lost and in need of salvation and redemption. So we know, as John the Apostle tells us in that famous passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." He sent his Son into the world to die for our sins, to make it possible for us. He came searching. He came to seek and save the lost. That's the essence of Jesus' mission, to bring God's kingdom to a people who are under the domination of the kingdom of darkness, which is the condition of the human race apart from Jesus Christ. And it's the church that is born of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who's ascended to the right hand of the Father, not only is Jesus sent on mission, Jesus is a sent one. Not only Jesus, but as he destroys the power of sin and death on the cross, and he ascends to the right hand of the Father, and he brings in his own being now, having been united to human flesh, he became one of us, the firstborn of a new creation. He now takes his humanness, his humanity, meaning he takes you and me, in a whole new way of being, Literally, Scripture calls it a new creation. He takes us into the presence of the Father, and humanity, which had fallen from glory, now enters glory. And the new humanity, the new creation, has begun in the person of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit on that people, the human race, on his church, on the apostles, on those who he personally commissioned, called, trained, discipled, and prepared for this. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He said, wait in the upper room, and I will clothe you with power. The promise of the Father will be given. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. The church is born of the Holy Spirit. The church lives by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is sent on mission. So mission is at the core and at the soul of what it means to be Catholic, to be Christian. The church is a missionary body of people. It's a community or a communion in mission. And everyone who's baptized is baptized into the Holy Spirit, is born again, as Jesus would say. Everyone must be born again by water and the Spirit. That's baptism. We're born by water and the Spirit. We're literally crucified with Christ in baptism. The old man is put to death in that death-directed nature that we have, that sin-sick nature that has no future, is put to death. And we rise with Christ in baptism. And the Holy Spirit now dwells in us as in a temple. And so it's that Spirit that clothes us with power. And the power is to live a life of holiness and obedience to God, surrender to him, to be set apart for God, which we can't do on our own, but it's the presence of the Holy Spirit and the grace is given to us in the church and the sacraments and the preaching of the church. And we're empowered through the presence of the Holy Spirit to engage Jesus' mission. Well, Our Lady is a very central part of that fundamental mission. And she lives a life in the presence of God, sharing in the glory that belongs to God, but she is regularly sent by Jesus to Fatima and Aparecida into Kenya, Africa, famous apparition that happened there. But there's places all around the world where Mary has appeared. Some, like Fatima, the church fully embraces. It's still a private revelation. The church recognizes it publicly. It's not part of the official public revelation of the church, but the church is very clear that this is worthy of belief. The church has no doubt that this was God's work through Our Lady. And she came at Fatima with a warning. She came with a warning for the world. Just a month ago, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Fatima. So it was a time when the conversation about, yeah, let's talk again. What happened at Fatima? What's at the heart of it? Was happening throughout the church. And I think it was a very important moment. Well, yesterday, I was reading from one of the first things that happened, the very first thing that happened to the children at Fatima, the three young children, one was 10, one was 9, one was 7, was the first thing they encountered an angel who presented himself in the shape of a young boy and identified himself as the angel of peace. And Sister Lucia, the only one of the three that ended up living a long life, the two younger children just lived 2 years and they were just canonized by Pope Francis this past year. And now they're saints. And I want to talk about them a little bit and about Brazil a little bit more in our current condition, because we need to see the fundamental way in which God is constantly on mission to seek and save the lost. Number one, he's very concerned and in earnest about the condition of the world. And as Mary told the visionaries at Fatima, the children, that God's heart was profoundly wounded and deeply offended by the condition of the world, by the sins of people, by their decision to ignore God, to go their own way. And she warned, she said, a great war was going to break out and lives would be lost, millions of lives would be lost if people did not repent. So this cataclysmic reality of the First World War and the Second World War were going to break out, and she said it's the direct result of sin. She said war is a punishment for sin. And it's the result of God letting people have what they want, essentially. That is, the world that's raging against God and building its own kingdoms, despite what God has called us to do and be, acting against our own nature. And at a certain point, God has to let us have what we insist on. And the consequences are dramatic. And I think We're living at a crucial moment in history. There is no doubt that huge portions of the world that were once Catholic are now radically secularized, and people are walking away from the faith. There's a radical rebellion in the earth. There's certainly strong faith in places across the earth. There's no doubt about that. But spent a month and a half, 2 months ago, I was in China, and the government was cracking down on the church. 85 million people in a political party in a country of 1.3 billion people or 1.2 billion people. And the official stance of the government is to do what Psalm 2 talks about, that the nations rage against the Lord and against his anointed, and using their force and their power to try to prevent the church from growing, and really in many places to try to prevent the church from even existing in certain spots, and resisting the mission of the church, the mission which is in the soul of the church. So it's the kingdoms of the world are at war against the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And so at Fatima, what we saw was this angel coming, and the first thing he does, and just think how different God is, friends, this great conflagration, this great war was going to break out. The whole world was going to be involved in it. And what does God do? He sends an angel to talk to three little simple children, illiterate, no power, no money, no influence, no voice, no megaphone, no brand in the world, nothing. He sends an angel to them to prepare them to receive God's word. There's a profound teaching to each of us right here, right now. People are often, I talk to people, they're anxious about the chaotic condition of the world. And people are afraid what to do about it. I think the first step, friends, is to follow the children of Fatima as they followed the angel that was sent to them. The first step is to bow down. And what did the angel do? He knelt down, he bent over with his forehead on the ground, and he prayed this simple prayer, which I ended yesterday's program with. I want to end today's as well. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. God didn't come to the powerful of the world because their power is nothing against what's at the source of the problem, the sin problem, and the work of Satan and his kingdom and the demons that are in the world. Money, power, has no power over it, no capacity to stop it. Because the problem's in the human heart. It's sin-sick hearts that are living in rebellion against God. And the answer is turning toward God in repentance. And God gives it to children because the children, one, are willing to listen, but he wants us to know how simple the answer is. It's not easy, but it's simple. Bend the knee. Bow your head. Cry out to God. Acknowledge him. It's what I see in Brazil. It's what I see in the simple and the beautiful all across the world who are walking with God. The way out of it all is to respond with that kind of devotion and hunger from your heart for God himself. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.